Welcome to part two of this special series featuring American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker, Pastor Richard O'Phill. This 10-part series is entitled, Especially for Ministers. And now let's join Pastor Richard O'Phill as he continues to discuss the minister's devotional life.
It's interesting, this thing of prayer. I said that we usually pray to get something. But prayer is not to get something. Prayer is to be something. Prayer is the breath of the soul. Listen, I happen to know, because I am one, I happen to know that even in our spiritual lives, we have our ups and downs. I know that. I also know that even as ministers, we have it worse than that sometimes. But I know this. I know this, that when we become the men of prayer that God means for us to be, half our troubles will be over. Oh, you're saying, come on now. No, I just said half. Didn't say all. But I think I can say half. You know why? Because we're half our trouble. We're half our trouble. Yeah, it's funny. You know, we'll even use prayer to manipulate people. You ever use prayer to manipulate anybody? Have you ever had anybody use prayer to manipulate you? Well, I have. Yeah, here's the way it usually goes. We'll get into it. To have a discussion with somebody. You don't see eye to eye. You can feel the tension. Can you feel it? But then at the end of the conversation, the person says, "Well, Brother O'Phill, before you go, let's have a word of prayer." Yuck. But you can't say no. So you bow your head. And this buddy says, "And so, Lord, help Dick to understand that I'm right." No, he doesn't say it, but in so many words. I got my mouth closed and my eyes closed, and him and God gang up against me. I don't like that. See? People will use prayer to put you off. See, you want to talk about something, they say, "I don't want to talk about it. I got to pray about it." We just use prayer. See, keep people away. We'll use prayer to say, in other words, sometimes we don't want to be accountable. See, so you say, "Oh, don't ask me why I do it this way. I prayed about it after all." I was talking to someone about prayer one time and saying what a tremendous thing prayer was. They said, "Well, I know somebody, he prays all the time and he's mean." I thought, "No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't." Mm-mm. Because I want to tell you this, prayer drives out meanness. But let's flip that, John. Meanness will drive out prayer. You know, some people say, "God answers all my prayers." Oh, really? Yes, he says yes, no, or maybe, or stand by, or hang on, or I'll see you later. And they praise God. Now, if you read the scripture like I read it, Jesus didn't say that whatever you ask, I'll say no to. Hey, do you think Jesus is pulling our leg? Some people say, "Well, if you're not getting your prayers answered, it means you don't have faith." Oh, tell me about it. Don't tell me I don't have faith. If I didn't have faith, I wouldn't be here talking about a God I've never seen. You got faith. Hey, and what's sovereign? Is God sovereign or is faith sovereign? Is faith something we use to push God around with? Is God going to get us on a technicality? No, come on. Is he just trying to tantalize us? Whatever you ask in faith, come on, ask it. Say no. He says you ask, you get it. Yet the fact is, I've been asking and I'm not getting it. It bothers me. That's not the way it's supposed to be. See, Jesus said, if you have faith, just a little faith, you can move mountains. And I pray it won't rain. It rains anyway. In fact, I mentioned earlier, I said, you know, you get to thinking about it. Check your batting average out. Out of 10 prayers, how many yeses you get out of the deal? Maybe one? Or less? And this is one of the reasons why, fellas, to be frank with you, why we don't pray too much. Because really, nothing happens, really. It's a ceremony. You do it. You know, you go through the motions. But nothing's really going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that God has never answered your prayers and mine. I'm just saying, you know, in general, on a day-by-day basis. Well, I got to worry about this. And I got to thinking about my relationship with my wife, Betty. And believe it or not, men, 9 times out of 10, when I ask my wife, Betty, for a favor, she says yes. Not bad, huh? Can you say that? You got that good of a batting average? 9 times out of 10, I ask my wife for a favor, she says yes. 9 times out of 10, I ask God for a favor, he says no. Something's wrong. Does Betty love me more than God? Does God love me less than Betty? But I got to think about it. See, this isn't as hard as it sounds. This isn't as hard as it sounds. I've been married for 30 years. And I want to tell you that if you live with the same person for 30 years, you get to know them. I can tell you this. When I go to ask Betty for something, I already know what she's going to say. For that simple reason, I don't ask her for dumb things. Think I'm crazier than I look? No, listen. Hey, if I know that she's going to say no, I don't ask. Now, once in a while, I miss. Maybe 1 out of 10. I know my wife. You guys are illiterate, aren't you? You know what I'm saying, don't you? Have you put 2 and 2 together yet? This is the thing, you know, when you talk with fellow ministers, kind of an insult. You say, what am I telling these guys? They know all I do. But, you know, we ministers, but I've come to the conclusion that we ministers are just human beings. Have you figured that out yet? Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think we're more human than the rest of the humans. And to make matters worse, and this is why I tell our people, I say, oh, please pray for your pastor. Please pray for your pastor. I say, if you were the devil and had one bullet, who would you use it on? True, isn't it? Doesn't he? Oh, listen, boy. If he can knock out, you see, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. He must be laughing his head off, see. If we could get this across to the people, hey, I say, hey, uphold the hands of your preacher. You may not agree with him. You may not see eye to eye. But when you smite the ministry, and I might say this, fellas, and I say this with all respect, that the minister is the fall guy these days. The church pastor is the fall guy. He's to blame for everything. He's become a victim of friendly fire. You know what friendly fire is? Yeah, that's from your side. But having a bomb dropped on your head from the enemy or a bomb dropped on your head from your friend, it does the same thing to you. That you got it. Yeah, see. And this is why, whether we be church administrators or whether we be members of the church, we need to uphold the hands of the ministry.
Now you're preaching, brother.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was I saying? Putting 2 and 2 together. The reason why that we're getting so many no's from God is because we're asking for such dumb things. Do you really think that God would do for us that which would not be to His glory or for our long-term good. Do you really think He would? You know, it's for this reason we need to learn how to pray. Now, I mentioned earlier of what most of us usually pray for, we pray about. The fact of the matter is, and I really think that we ministers are no different than the rest. We pray basically about what God or what Jesus explicitly told us not to worry about. I'll bet you a milkshake. Oh, I know I shouldn't say that. That's got double implications. That sounds like I'm a betting man and that I'm out of the health reform. That's an expression. That's an idiomatic expression. I'm quite sure. How's that? I'm quite sure that after the last 10 prayers that we've prayed, that 9 of them have been about what Jesus said, don't worry about. Jesus said very clearly, take no thought about what? Tomorrow, what you shall eat and drink and where you live and how much money you got and how whether you're going to well, whether you're going to have breakfast or not. He said, we know, my daddy and me, my father knows. We know, we made you that. We know you need that. But for your part, seek first what? The kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And all these things that you're praying about all the time, you get. But no, not us. No, not us. No, see, I'm worried about breakfast. I'm worried about whether my car is going to start. See, whether I'm going to be able to pay tuition for my kids. You know, where I'm going to retire. Or worse, if they're going to retire me. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Now, you say, well, what do you mean pray for the kingdom of heaven? What's the kingdom of heaven? What's that? Where is it? Jesus says, I'll tell you what the kingdom of heaven isn't. The kingdom of heaven is not in what? Meat and drink. Listen, we tend to pray, excuse this expression, about the flesh and what I call its support groups. That's what we're praying about all the time. Whether it be the personal flesh and its support groups or the corporate flesh and its support groups. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of heaven. And what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is love and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. In other words, if I'm understanding it right, we should be more concerned in our prayers, not in what we have, but who we are. And when is the last time that you and I prayed about the kind of men that we are? That we are. You know, now I say I'm the father of 4 children. You know, some of us, do you have any children you're praying for? You know, we men will pray that God will help our young men not to sow wild oats, you know. And we ourselves have impure thoughts. You see, we'll pray that our son or our daughter, our mother, our father, our brother or sister will give their hearts to the Lord. And the fact is that we're not totally committed ourselves. Let me tell you what I was doing one day. I was praying that God would save one of my boys. And I got right in the middle of that prayer. And I realized that I had bitterness and resentment in my heart towards the faculty of the academy from which he had been expelled. I realized there was no use in me going on praying for my boy until I got this thing straight in my own heart. Do you see what I mean? You know, a lady came to me one time and she said, "But I didn't think you were supposed to pray for yourself."
This is the end of side one.
You know, a lady came to me one time and she said, "But I didn't think you were supposed to pray for yourself." I said, "That's what it's about." You see, prayer is the breath of my soul. You see, this is the incredible thing. You can pray. You can pray, for example, maybe have to pray for your brother, your sister, your mother, father, even one of your kids. You might have to pray for 15 years that they'll give their hearts to the Lord. But you shouldn't have to pray for 5 minutes that the Lord will deliver you from your bad temper. I was saying this in one church not long ago, and a fellow sitting about right there, and he just was squirming and groaning, and he didn't like that. Because I come back to that. He had a temper. And I was telling him that if he still had a temper after 5 years, it's because he wanted it. Oh, he said, no, not at all. That was, in fact, when the thing was over at the end of the day, we were sitting down here on the platform talking about it. And he was telling me why it just couldn't be that way. He began to tell the story. Well, the fact of the matter was is that he didn't like the temper. He knew he shouldn't have it, but he held it in reserve. You know what I mean by that? He held it in reserve. Because there's some of us that have weaknesses that we hold in reserve. Because we feel that there is a time in which we're justified. And this young man had lost the most precious relationship in his life. He hit bottom. And then he realized that having a temper was not even something to be held in reserve. He realized that he had been dominated by his temper because he wanted to be. This is the wonderful thing, and I think that this is the marvelous thing, and I'm going to refer to this later, that prayer is the mechanism by which the power of God flows into our lives by the Holy Spirit and breaks the hold of sin in our lives. It doesn't make us perfect, but it does make us victorious. Can you see the difference? All sin shall not have dominion over us, brethren. Sin shall not have dominion over us. The gospel of Jesus Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. But this thing doesn't function unless we pray. See, you can have your daddy praying for you. You can have your wife praying for you. Your kids praying for you. And all that's great. But nothing really happens in anybody's life until he starts praying himself. Because prayer is the opening of the heart. Now, even when we pray right, there will be delays. You can expect some delays. By the way, Jim here is a friend, you know, as he mentioned, for a number of years. You can imagine, if I went to Jim and said, "Jim, give me $20. $100. Oh, Jim, well, let's do $20, because you'll see how it works. Jim, give me $20. He gives me $20. I go to him tomorrow and say, "Jim, give me $20. He gives me $20. I go to him the next day and say, "Jim, give me $20. Now, if every time I ask Jim for $20, he gives them to me, does this make me respect him more and more? Tell me. No. In fact, I begin to think he's nuts. In fact, I'll go to you and say, "The guy's out of his mind. Go hit him up for some money. He gives you $20. Can't you see it? You see it? Can you put two and two together? See, this is the reason. It has to do with sovereignty of God. It has to do with maintaining the right relationship. But if every time you say frog, God jumps, hey, what kind of a God is that? We become God. He becomes the frog. And another little thing, by the way, and this is our problem, and that is that a lot of times we don't even want what we pray for. You believe that? Oh, definitely. You know, we pray from guilt. If you pray from guilt, forget it. See, there's a lot of things we're praying for because we ought to pray for it. You know, it's a ceremonial prayer, but we don't mean it. We don't mean it. You know, how many times, you know, do you use the illustration and say, "Oh, God, I want you to do something for me. And if you don't do it, I'll die." And the next day, we're still alive and praying about something else. See, so God, I think, yes, right. To see if we're sincere. That's all it's about. It's about sincere. The effectual, what kind of a prayer? Fervent prayer. So all of these things enter in. It isn't that God, it isn't when we pray right, there's still the right relationship to be maintained. There are certain prayers, obviously, that take longer. For you to pray that you'll stop beating your wife shouldn't take 15 years. That's crazy, isn't it? We shouldn't talk about beating our wives, but to take our wives for granted? To be unappreciative? But anyway, we shouldn't have to pray 15 years about that. But when you're praying for somebody else, that may take time. Because you see, God respects an individual's will. You know that already. For example, mushrooms. You know how long it takes to grow a mushroom? Overnight. In fact, I could say to you, "Come to my house, we'll have mushrooms tomorrow." And I plant them tonight. That's how fast mushrooms go. Or I could say, "Come to my house, we'll have radishes, but don't come for a month." Or I could say, "Come to my house, we'll have pineapple, but don't come for 2 years." Or I could say, "Oh, you're going to panel your family room in redwood. Don't come for 75 years. So it depends on what you're talking about, see. Praying, even with the will of God, some things take more time. Oh, listen, this thing of prayer. To be on God's wavelength. It isn't so much what we pray about. Listen, if you're having financial problems, pray about it. But it might be more wise to pray about what God is into the financial. Greed, for example. See, God won't give you a new credit card, but He might give you a new heart. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, God works at the level of the heart. It isn't that we shouldn't pray about financial things and getting well and our work and everything, but it has to do with priorities in prayer. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness." Oh, as a man of God, you know, we've been praying that we would do this, or we'd build a church, or we'd get to this, or we'd do this. What's going to happen when the men of God pray to be holy men? What's going to happen when we pray for ourselves to be full of the Holy Spirit? What's it going to be when the men of God, His ministers, are praying, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me"? What's going to happen, brethren, when we come together, and I just am so pleased that this conference and this workers' meeting, that we're talking about spiritual things. In this case, we're going to spend 10 hours with God and 5 minutes in the counting house. See, that's the way it should be. Don't you think so? See, we know how to do our business. Hey, we know how to do our business. We need to coordinate our business. But the thing that we really need, we got to get from heaven. See, what you really need, you can't get from the conference hall. What we really need, we can only get on our knee. And oh, I'm optimistic. I think there's a better day coming. I smell something cooking. I hope you men will forgive me the way I express myself. I speak in the vernacular. I speak the Koine English. And I just speak heart to heart, especially for ministers. I want to solicit an interest in your prayers during these next few days. Let's pray for one another. Now what the scripture says, pray for one another that you might be healed. Any of you need healing tonight in your life?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, oh God, we're so thankful that you've called us to the ministry.
Amen.
Lord, what a high calling. But Lord, we're so human. And Lord, we got running so fast down the track that we've gotten ahead of the Holy Spirit. Oh Jesus, slow us down, even trip us up till you can catch up. In Jesus' name, amen.